a phone repair contract for 1 year, $450 for the cost for 1 year's supply of letterhead and envelopes, $4,000 annual fee to pay to ProCan and KPAC to play Canadian music. Those are just some of the costs around here. You've been listening to a lot of interesting pieces this morning, and one of the things we're trying to stress on CKLN is that here you can hear action radio. You can hear people who are being activists, who are trying to bring you an alternative outlook on our society and so on. And we need you to support that type of thing. We need you to phone in at 598-2182. I haven't heard the phones ringing yet. I'm running out of breath, but I don't know if I want to stop talking until the phones ring. I mean, it's very discouraging not to hear them ringing. I can keep talking forever, but I'm sure that it would become very boring after a while to hear the sound of my voice droning on and on and on and on about the costs that that we have around here. I'm just going to keep going on the list for a little while longer to see if we can get the phones ringing. We spend $2,500 for that's the price of replacing the old cart machine we have now, which has led to a number of rather amusing incidences of people punching up the cart. And what do you get? You get this. And the phone came in right at that strategic moment. It's great. Let me go through a bit more of the cost because we do want the phones to keep ringing. $100, that's the amount paid weekly to retain engineer. We have a great engineer here, John Jones, who might mention, and that's required by the CRTC. $129 bi-monthly rental fee for typewriters. $1,000 printing and postage charges from SERPI each year. $800 annual fee, National Campus Radio Organization.
You said you would stop talking after somebody phoned, and somebody phoned.
Oh, you're cutting me off. 598-2182. Phone more. This is Radio Moscow. No, it's not Radio Moscow.
It's Radio South Africa, then we'll play Radio Moscow.
We're okay.
We're carrying all this report.
Yay, phone again! Yay! 598-2182.
Wolfsburg, Switzerland. The chief minister of the KwaZulu National State, Chief Mangosuthu Buthelezi, says a great deal more of taking courses are pushing the South African government towards reform than those working for violent revolution. I beg your pardon, I should read revolution. He told a meeting of European VIPs that big business in South Africa was tipping the scales against violence by adding its voice to the call for reform. And with that, we end our news in brief coming to you from Radio RSA in Johannesburg.
Okay, there's Radio South Africa, and as you can see where they're coming from with their news reports, business and Chief Buthelezi is going to bring about reform and not the African National Congress. Now, let's hear a report from Radio Moscow. This is a recent one, and let's just listen to the difference in their style. But before we hear it, 598-2182 is the number to call, and you're supporting this show, and you're supporting CKLN, and you're supporting the idea of CKLN. So I won't waste your time. 598-2182, $35 gets you a CKLN t-shirt with a picture of Mr. Jorgensen, a very famous person, and $50 gets you a sweatshirt with Jorgensen. 598-2182, I'm about to play Radio Moscow South Africa report, but I don't hear the phone ringing.
I know, let's sing until they phone in.
Well, I think Radio Moscow probably would be better than singing. Don't you think?
Yeah.
Okay, I tell you what. We'll play the Radio South Africa, then call us and pledge money, and then Bob's going to come on and do a half hour of great stuff. So here's Radio Moscow.
In South Africa, the racial regime is on the threat of a grim crisis, as press correspondents say in a report from Harare, London, and Paris.
In racist South Africa, the so-called riot squads have staged a real bloodbath in Edwardsville, a suburb of Pretoria. Some 15,000 people gathered at the funeral of 13-year-old Moses Mupe, who was beaten to death by the police. The police units were sent to deal with a funeral procession. One eyewitness, an African journalist, said he saw how a policeman fired his pistol in the face of one young man and killed him right on the spot. and another man, he said, was burned to death in a house which was set on fire by the police. About 40 persons were arrested. Last weekend, at least 6 Africans and colored people were killed in South Africa. In one of the streets of Cape Town, a white man opened gunfire at a group of Africans and killed one of them. In Port Elizabeth, a powerful explosive device blew up a house belonging to Watson, a white man actively supporting the struggle of the black people against apartheid. Even according to incomplete official figures, some 800 people were killed as a result of the repression since the beginning of the year. A correspondent of the Times in Johannesburg, Michael Hornsby, described the repressions of the racists in an article published by the newspaper. Recently, together with a group of local and foreign newsmen, he was amidst the demonstrators marching through the streets of Atlin, a colored people's township of Cape Town. A day before that, the police opened fire on a group of peaceful demonstrators there. Thousands of residents of the township went out into the streets to protest against that ruthless act of the racists. And again, the police flooded the streets. Under armored police cars, said Hornsby, one could see the guns and rifles pointed at the crowd. Suddenly, without any apparent reason, shots were fired and 2 victims of racist terror fell on the pavement. On hearing cries, Hornsby continued, he turned his head in that direction and at that very moment felt as if somebody with great force threw a handful of small sharp stones at him. Then he saw blood on his glasses and shirt. It appears that in an attempt to disperse the marchers, the police opened sporadic fire at them with guns loaded with small shot. In response to the terror of the regime of apartheid, the African National Congress intends to start large-scale military operations in the areas where white people live and hit at police and military facilities. The France Press reports that this has been stated in Nassau by the head of the international section of the African National Congress, Makatini. Talks with the Pretoria government are impossible, he said, since it recognizes only one type of a dialogue, and that is bullets against children.
There is more reports from press correspondents in Harare, London, and Paris.
How poetic, eh? Bullets against children. It's the only thing the South African police realize.
It's the only thing the Nazis know.
Okay, that was Radio Moscow. They ain't beating around the bush. They're, in this case, what do you think?
Nope, they're telling the truth, but it's to their advantage to tell the truth.
It's their advantage to tell the truth, exactly. Yeah, they don't say that about themselves. You can never turn on Radio Moscow and hear them saying that about themselves. But then again, you can never hear the voice of them. You'd never hear Radio South Africa turn on that report on their show.
No, it's a tiny, tiny planet, and those countries are myths, and they're a small team. So they're just mobilizing the Russian culture, just we're mobilizing the English cultures. The Western cultures is a collage of conflicting macroscopic gestures.
Mm.
Meanwhile, the world is run by paratroopers. Little small teams.
Okay, now we're going to go into Bob's stuff, but first I'd like to thank Matthew Challenger. Matthew gave us $25. Matthew, thank you for your support. And Bob, would you like to play your celebrities?
Yeah, let's hear from Mr. Sherman Skolnick, who is telling us why we should send money to keep paying for the phone calls we use to tape his show.
Oh, before we hear that, by the way, we still have available for a pledge of $15, still ain't satisfied, Canadian Feminism Today. Also, Union Sisters, Women in the Labor Movement, for a pledge of $20. Also, we have 2 pairs of tickets to the play The Blue City Slammers at the Theatre Pass Marais. Each pair's worth $16. We'll give you... for 15. Hey, you can get a discount and you support CKLN. Now, just one thing before we play Sherman. Is Sherman's coming up first?
Yes.
Killed by the Monopoly Press. Does Sherman know the phone number?
No, he didn't, but he knows the station. The
okay.
call letters.
Okay. The phone number is 598-2182.
Hi, this is Sherman Skolnick in Chicago. I'm a political assassination researcher, and you've heard me from time to time on this station. If you like what you've heard, then support this station with some donations, because this is a community radio station, and they count on you. I mean, where else are you going to hear some of the things we talk about? The CIA, political assassination, the possibility of banks coming crashing down. Some of the regular stations are afraid to death to talk about these things. But it's all discussed here, and your donation would help keep this station going. So come on, let's hear about it. Send in your money. and you'll keep these far-out subjects going on the air here. I suppose it's better than a bottle of aspirin to deal with getting bored or getting a headache from having something monotonous. What you hear here will not be monotonous. It might scare the heck out of you about various presidents in the United States being shot at or knocked off all the time, all the way from Lincoln to date, and who might have been behind it. I mean, especially if you really don't get into those things and haven't researched it, you're going to hear it here. I think that's a good reason why you should kick in with some money to support this station.
Well, I'm sitting at home. Sitting at home, and I hear Bob Marshall on the radio for a full hour. And I'm saying I have to get down to the station and stop this. This is scandalous. This is outrageous.
Adam, you're very good at saying well. We need a little improvement on your nevertheless, but well is excellent.
At any rate, I'm down here as usual at this time on a Saturday morning, instead of in an adversarial role or advocating opposition to Bob's wilder theories and
facts.
Facts. Bob's wilder facts and wilder's opinions. I know that when this show goes on, and I know that I have had the incident where people have phoned up and complained about the show, where people have said, this stuff is outrageous. I know those phone calls have come through because I've had to field a couple of them, and I've called you back in the very same morning. And I think it's important that those people that find the show controversial or disagree with the content, they should phone in and pledge. One of the keys to this show is not that you agree with everything that's being said, and not that you think that everything that's being said is necessarily true or isn't true. And the key to the show is that the thought and the discussion around the show. Bob finds these sources all over the world, brings them into Toronto by electronic airwaves, and we get to discuss them, and that's important. And it's not so important that you may think that Mondale's a conscious Soviet agent. It's not important whether you think who killed Kennedy. It doesn't matter. What matters is that there's a chance to discuss it in an informal matter. You don't have to file legal affidavits with the CBC and clear all sorts of legal hurdles. Just get to talk it. We get to do that for free right here, but it isn't for free because part of the cost is the tape, part of the cost of the long distance calls, part of the cost of it's the studio time and the electricity and all those other elements. And we're asking you, the listener, to help pitch in and cover some of those costs. We have a huge operating budget. The International Connection obviously only takes up part of that, but it does take up some of it. And if you're an opponent of the International Connection or if you're a proponent of it, lend a hand. The number to phone is 598-2182. And what can I say?
Well, it's correct that it costs money to do the show, and we'd had an extraordinary conference call with me and Sherman Skolnick a couple of weeks ago, and that cost us over $250. We like to think this is a community service because May and Skolnick never get access to the media in general. So if you thought that was a good program, send in some money. The number is 598-2182, and the more money you send, the longer we can put them on.
Yeah. Think of it this way. You get to hear Sherman Skolnick's Chuckle of the Week twice a week on Fridays and on Thursdays. If you just added up the long-distance charges required to get those chuckles of the week, you'd come up with a substantial amount of money. All we're asking you to do is to pay a one-time shot. Say, pay $25 for it. And that's the cost of bringing Sherman Skolnick once a week. Apart from the fact that I think he does some interesting work out of Chicago, he's a very funny guy, and it's worth it. I mean, you pay $25 a year for newspapers if you buy about one a week. There's all sorts of sides to supporting it, the station, and not just one of them. But you know, take a long look at the entertainment value of the International Connection alone, and see if that's worth $50. It gets you a sweatshirt. And of course, the other thing that they haven't mentioned this morning is that everybody that pledges enters the draw for the trip to New York City, courtesy of Cuts Travel. That means that if you pledge $10, you pledge $50, you pledge $100,
you are open to this trip. It's plane tickets for two down to the Big Apple, hotel accommodation for the weekend, and some spending money thrown in. It's Ellen Murray from Coxwell Avenue just donated $25. That means that she is now eligible for that trip. There's also a second prize, which is a weekend in Toronto. You don't get the plane tickets, obviously, but there's a weekend at the Cameron. There's wrestling tickets. There's a meal at Mars, a restaurant on College Street. There's all sorts of stuff. But the important thing is to help keep the station running. File 88 is perhaps our only international news show, and it needs to know that it has an audience. And even if you disagree with what you hear, or if you agree with what you hear, the important thing is to phone up and give us a shout and put some money in there in our pledge forms.
Adam, I like the way you lay out the File 88. Actually, it's Dave Neufeld and Dave Creelman who direct this. We start off with local news through Oberg, and then Dave puts together a really good collage on the shortwave level, and then and that's the clash of names and cultures and tribes, and then we move into International Connection, which names the people who control the paratroopers,
theoretically, of course. But anyway, that should be stressed.
Actually, we might be switching the order, Adam. Has that been decided?
Well, it's being looked at, and perhaps people that phone up and give a pledge now can discuss that with some of the people and then see what sort of order they want to see the events fall in. The key to this whole thing is the collision of ideas, and that's what radio is, especially spoken word radio.
Another thing to mention is that if you're... when you're calling in for your pledge, you can give us suggestions for any show or any ideas that you have. And the only way we can make this show for you, because it is for you and our community, is for you to let us know exactly what you think by sending us letters, giving us a call during business hours, anything. Because we need to know what you want to hear in order for us to play it for you.
Now, Bob and I are used to doing this show in a Thursday afternoon, hidden away in a booth with a telephone. And Bob has brought down a barrage of thugs and hitmen and the like.
It's very scary. Bob's death squad. Bob's death squad's here today. And they're regular listeners to International Connection. And I don't know if there are any people listening to International Connection. I've been on the air for a year, and about eight people have called me personally, and I've given them more information. But I understand, in general, a lot of people are listening at some point, Thursday, Friday, or Saturday. But I thought those listeners who might feel isolated and if they're interested in the show would like to hear what other people who follow the show and even know Mabe Russell and Sherman Skolnick's stuff even in more detail, what they have to say about the show and what they think of the fact that CKLN gives us the opportunity to hear it. Eddie Crystal, do you want to have anything to say about this? One of our men here is Eddie Crystal.
Well, actually, I'm standing in for Eddie Crystal. I'm James Spleen. And I find a lot of what Bob says a lot of lies, but, you know, I enjoy the show quite a bit because it's very interesting, very, very interesting misinformation.
You mean it's a genuine fake? Is that what you're saying?
Genuine, yes.
One of the things that the radio station was,
yeah.
I mean, radio in general, it's one of the things we said last night, is McLuhan said that it creates communities, that it creates a level of people that listen to the same environment, participate in the same environment, and that's what a radio station creates. What we're asking the listeners to do, and what we're asking that community to do, is to create the radio station for the next year. We're getting a power increase. The CRTC has okayed our power increase, which means we go from 13 watts to 250 watts. That's because the CRTC acknowledges what we're doing, and they've given a sign of approval. The trouble is that it costs $20,000 to put up the power, and only you, the listener, can supply that money. We get a substantial amount of money from the Ryerson student body. We get a lot of money from the business community, but we need that extra little push from you, the listener. The CRTC requires us to diversify our funding base. They require us not to depend solely on advertising, solely on the student body. They ask us to go to you, the listener, and we need the help that you can supply. If you're at home now and you can only get it on the clock radio and you can't get it on the stereo because the signal's too weak to be picked up by your equipment, that's why you should donate, just to get the signal that much better. There are people that live in Oshawa that have to drive out underneath a railway bridge in their car to get the signal because it's the only way they can get it in Oshawa. But they go out and listen to it. Bob has a friend who drives in a Volkswagen up and down the 401 all day long just so he can listen to the international connection. Believe it or not, those accident reports you hear in other stations, they're caused by Bob's listeners.
That's right. But, something that throws them off.
But at any rate,
and we have to pay the gas bill, so you got to send more money.
It's horrendous. But there are a number of costs associated with it all, and the key to the whole thing is to eliminate the struggle. I know that there's a listener to today's shortwave show that lives in Oakville, a guy called Sandy. He's phoned the station a couple of times. If he's listening, he's talked to us about the trouble he has getting the station. He wants to know whether or not he should invest in new equipment. Well, no, don't invest in new equipment. Invest in the station. Give us some money, we'll boost the power. It's that simple. This time next year, we'll be broadcasting to all of Toronto, a lot of southern Ontario, and parts of upper state New York. That's been okay. That's what the Department of Communications says we're allowed to do. What stands in the way is $20,000 in transmission lines, is $20,000 in a new tower, is $20,000 in new transmitting equipment, and it all comes from you, the listener, helping us, who are also all former listeners. I think that's the other key to the thing. Dave Neufeld is a student, but Bob, you listened to the station before you worked at it.
That's how I found out about you.
Adam, I should add that the CRTC approved our power increase because you, the listener, approved of us, and you wrote to the CRTC, and that's heartening for us to know that the people that are listening to the station also have the initiative not only to call up and say, yes, we do support it, and we're going to take, you know, we're going to allocate some of our own resources that we work hard for and give it to you to support what you're doing, but not only that, they took the time to write to the CRTC and say, yes, we do think the station deserves a power increase. And once again, you know, we can't thank you more than enough for calling the CRTC and telling them that.
Now, I was listening at home to the show. I admit I even listened to the show at home, but at any rate. And I had a few things I think we should talk about here. Now, just a couple of things here.
Can we bring in another listener? Look, Eddie, I'm going to sue Eddie for the slander remarks. The International Connection deals with a lot of slander. And Eddie Crystal just slandered the show. We'll deal with him later. But I have another listener who I might have a different approach. I can't predict it. These people are, subject to information overload, so we can't hold them responsible for containing conceptual continuity. But we have another listener, John Barrington, who... I hope I can use the English language and elucidate on why he enjoys the International Connection or doesn't like it. Preferably, we need a little support because Eddie Crystal blew it there.
Irrespective of what Eddie Crystal said, Bob Marshall does, after all, offer something that nobody else in Toronto, in fact, no one else in the known free world, is offering to you, the Ryerson listeners. And I think that it's just unfortunate that Eddie got up on the wrong side of the bed today. We always knew he was a carbuncular kind of crank who's inclined to pop off from time to time. I don't think that should discourage you from opening your pocketbooks and your hearts and sending your money down here, because this is a valuable service and should be supported. After all, the people of Ryerson, I think, should be impressed by the fact that the people here at Radio Ryerson are trying to extend your voice farther into the world, and they can't do that without your help. So I can only reiterate what the others have been saying all along. 5982182.
Okay, now let's get back to the meat and potato issues of all this. Now, I heard some very discouraging thoughts throwing my way in the morning. I was waking up after a late night last night, shaky. And no,
can we put International Connection on a better time then? How about prime time, 8 o'clock?
I think he was talking about taking it off.
More money. Look at that. Everybody that's phoned in this morning gets their name read over the airways. This is Ruben Freed. He phoned in a pledge. Ruben, another $50 for a sweatshirt.
But he phoned in $25 and he phoned in again.
Another $25.
That's the Ruben Freed.
That's the Ruben Freed. I guess that's the of Hogarth.
Oh, Ruben Freed, the playwright. Well, that's interesting.
There's also Pauline Derning. See, one of the things that gets me is the reactions that you get from people that listen to the show. There's two of them. One of them says, this irresponsible journalism. You guys are just, you guys are abusing your privileges on the airwaves, and I'm writing a letter to the CRTC. The other people look back and laugh at this show. They find it entertaining. There's a small sect, and I think three of them are in the booth today, who actually find it informative. But at any rate,
well, it's hard to believe they are facts. Everything that Mae Brussels says is from the newspaper.
And of the three you brought in, two have already put down the show. But at any rate, I think the key to the thing is that this show is can be seen from many different angles.
Well, do you know that most of the people here are usually involved with the show change their name? And that my listeners, I've heard, change their names while they're listening to the show. And if anybody phones them and they can hear the show in the background, they use a different name. So this is dangerous information, so we may be killed any minute. But let's just celebrate the fact that CKLM put this on and phone 598-2182. We've been on a year. We may be able to get off another year. And we need the money, so help us.
And I think one of the things to realize is that
the fundraising
drive ends on November 3rd, which means that this time next Saturday, we're still going to be talking to you about this. So the quicker we get the money, the quicker we stop. I think that should be involved. And if you want to get us off the airways, all you have to do is give us the money, we'll stop. I mean, if you pledge, if we get a pledge for over $1,000, I'll kill the show.
We'll get that.
Wait a minute, my job's on the line here. It's going to have to be more than that.
I'm challenging you. No, it's just a joke.
But we got a gift here. If we survive through the next week, we'll have the gift ready. I'd like people who are following International Connection actually listen to it and remember it to answer this question. Who is the boogeyman, as far as Mae Brussels concerned, in North America? Who is the particular individual she says all the connections work back? If you can call in and give the name of that person, you will win a Xerox copy of the Torbett document. This is the document that Mae uses as her sort of ground that she moves around on, because it was written by a man, a lawyer in Texas, who knew the people who were involved with the Kennedy assassination, and then with another man from the CIA, they put together a document using Jim Garrison's files in the trial he had in New Orleans, and laid out a legal case to prove what Jim Garrison was trying to prove, though he was sabotaged. And Mae Brussels has used that, and it's been proven it's been proven quite accurate as you follow the news through the 70s and early 80s. So we'd like to offer that to Xerox copy of that document, over 100 pages, to someone who can name who is the main character today that Mae is concerned about.
Okay.
I know. We know.
At any rate, Dave, perhaps you can take us out of this for a while and relieve the listener's ears that I'm sure is singeing.
Okay, I was just looking at the time. It's 11:26, and our time is coming up. How long is your clip, Bob?
About 30 seconds.
30 seconds? Okay, then I'll do it. Here's Mae Brussels.
Okay. Being a listener-sponsored radio is the best news and the best programming and music that you can get. And do you know that Mae Brussels has the best news in the entire world? That's why it's called World Watchers. Where else can you get it? Where else can you learn about it? There are a few stations, but they're listener-sponsored. So contribute to that station. Make tapes and copies of your broadcast and play them back years later and see what you got for your money.
Why is your news the best news?
I cover the most newspapers. I cover controversial material. I've done 21 years research, and I do the things that the major networks leave out.
So they should send money.
I think you should support listener-sponsored radio wherever you are, and appreciate that people donate their time and their energy so that you get something special. What makes it special is the contrast between commercial, slick programming of any kind and the appreciation of the individuality of these particular stations, where you do get something great like CKLM.
Well, at 11:27, squeak, 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 you have been listening to the... Come on, Adam, you're ruining my whole rhythm here. Okay, 11:27, you have been listening to the fundraising edition of File 88, and I'd like to thank everybody who has been part of File 88 in the past, present, and will be in the future, including Bob Marshall, Amanda Enright, Oberg, Dave Neufeld, of course, and myself, and he's right beside me here.
Yeah, I'd like to thank, we've raised in the last hour and a half over $300, and...
On our show alone.
Yes,
And I'd like to thank everyone that called. And I'd like to thank everyone that didn't call and listened anyways, because that's also important. We want to know that we do have people that are listening. And for the ones that called, I don't know, if you believe in God, then you're going to go to heaven. I don't know, whatever you believe in, it's going to come true because you helped us. And sounds like a bunch of gibberish I'm talking about.
I'll tell you what, if you want to be a part of our show today, you can give us a call during the end of our show over our theme music. Let's hear theme music. It's not starting. Here we go. There we go. On behalf of everybody at File 88 and CKLN, we thank you for your pledges in this last 90 minutes. My name is Dave Krillman. Once again, thank everybody involved. Keep your calls coming. Critical Culture is up next. Don't go away. Everybody is waiting to hear from you. Come on, I want to hear the phone ring right now over my theme music. Let's go. 598-2182. Let's call. Come on. You're going to run out of time soon. I need this call. There we go. The lucky listeners, a part of File 88 today. We'll be back next Saturday. And next Saturday is a part of our programming as well. I'm away from the mic right now. Where is it?
This is Bill Smith, and jazz and improvised music is my life. Every Thursday evening from 10 until midnight, I have a show called Some Other Stuff. Why not join me and share the experience?
Just another fish in the sea. Yeah, yeah. sit right back, offer you a drink, and tell you that you waited too long.
Is the number to call. Pledge for CKLN's fundraising. That's Soulja on CKLN.
CKLN FM 88.1.
Good morning and welcome to this edition of Critical Culture, this fundraising edition. My name is Dennis Armstrong.
And my name is Karen Young.
This is fundraising week, the first Saturday,
yes,
at least, of fundraising, and business as usual, but with an added twist.
That's right. Today is the second day of fundraising. It started last night at 6 o'clock, and well, things are really booming.
Already we have thousands of dollars spent. What's on the program today, Karen?
Well, Ted Box is going to be reviewing
Nightwood Theater.
Nightwood Theater. Mm-hmm. And you're going to be talking to Barry Proffitt,
mm-hmm.
who is a very interesting musician.
Well, he's sort of a musician, but more of that, he's an architect. He has designed a big piece of percussivity, if you want to call it that, called the Ring Chamber. It's a monster. It's about the size of a room, and when he plays it, it looks like he's assembling a phantom tent.
Oh.
So it's just a remarkable piece. But he's performing that with this choreographer-dancer named Janice Palmer.
Oh, so it's more it's more dance and performance as well as music.
Exactly.
That's really interesting. Well, I'm going to be talking about something sort of away from the arts. Well, to do with the arts, but to do more with culture. When most people think of Northern Ontario, particularly the Sudbury area, they seem to regard it as kind of a bleak and uninviting place. Well, that's not so at all. I was in the Sudbury area last weekend and found out some wonderful things about Northern Ontario. Where? At the New Science North. It's a beautifully architected building that seems to mold itself with the landscape. It's set on the shore of a lake, and it was beautiful with all the fall colors and the trees reflecting in the water. Your first step into the center takes you underground through a cavern of rock. This gives the illusion of being in a mine. It's called Journey Through the Past. It's a guided geology tour. And it's really, you almost get this claustrophobic feeling when you're walking through, because you can see the water dripping from the rock, and you can get that. When you're encased in rock, it's just a silent, almost echo-type feeling.
Mm-hmm.
It was really, well, I found it really neat.
Have stalagmites and stalactites?
No. It's not that kind of, it's not limestone. Mm-hmm. It's just a different kind of rock. I'm not exactly sure what kind it is, but it's rock and it's hard. And once you're through the cavern, the next exhibit, and by far one of the most interesting, is a 3D film called The Wilderness. It's a unique expose on the nature of Northern Ontario. Now, you get an underwater look at a beaver, and a turtle appears to be swimming towards your face. It's that 3D effect again, which is unique in a wilderness film. Young children were sitting up in the front of the theater, and when the film showed trees with birds perched on their branches, the children were jumping up and down trying to catch the leaves. And again, this theater is underground, and it's a room with walls of rough-cut rock, and this was definitely an enjoyable experience. From here, we move on to exhibits with snake skins, skeletons, exotic birds, semi-precious and precious stones. You can find fossils, coins from around the world. There's a large exhibit of chunk minerals and crystal systems, this is especially unique for the Sudbury area because it has always been associated with the mines, and most of the minerals come from the Sudbury area. On to the live animal exhibit, snakes, turtles, frogs, scorpions, tarantulas, chameleons, scorpions, yeah. Oh, they're cute. But especially Ralph. Ralph is the cutest porcupine you would ever want to meet. He just sort of sits in the trees, kind of large, and he sleeps most of the time. But every now and then, one of the assistants will bring Ralph down and let the people pet him. And you think that, you know, you'd be stung with all these quills, but Ralph has been dequilled. So he's pretty well safe.
That's terrible. That's a terrible thing to do.
Well, he still has them, but he can't shoot them at people.
Oh.
But he's really cute.
Cute?
Yes.
What is this word, cute?
Don't you think porcupines are cute?
I do not have that word in my vocabulary.
You can find information on comets, primarily Halley's Comet, which we should be able to see in November of 85, and we'll see again in April of 86. Information on health and food nutrition. There's an exhibit I found interesting on atmospheric or meteorological photographs of clouds and lightning, and they really seem to capture the drama of the sky. But the unique thing about this is that the photographer, Arjun Varkaik, is blind. He only has 10% vision in one eye, and yet he has written manuals on meteorological and atmospheric conditions of the sky and has taken these magnificent photographs. Now, perhaps it is a low-key version of the Science Center in Toronto, but I learned more about Northern Ontario and its culture. The exhibits were presented well, and the employees are keenly interested in helping you and hearing your response. The center has only been open for a year, and I think it's done remarkably well. It's open all year round, so if you're in the Sudbury area, it'd be really something different and a fun thing to do in the afternoon.
Maybe some of the people up there, do you think they get CKLN up there?
No, not yet.
Oh, well.
Maybe with our new transmitter.
Yeah. Maybe you should have dug some rocks and minerals and maybe some valuable ore. You could have come home with some platinum and gold and uranium. And we could have sold it and we could have bought our transmitter that way. With big chunks of rock.
No, we can't get our transmitter that way.
How was the weather up there?
Beautiful. Mm. Absolutely beautiful. Sort of like it was yesterday.
Yeah.
Nice day.
Yeah, enjoy it while we still have it. Anyway, our intrepid Ted Fox spoke to Mary of the Knightwood Theater. The Knightwood Theater is notorious for its experimental risk-taking, and albeit small, it is certainly a vocal theater. Also, on the edge of its artistic and political stance in Toronto, it has ruffled a few feathers and has done collaborative work with Buddies in Bad Times, as well as other smaller theater companies. It's always one to encourage young, budding playwrights and actors, and, well, Ted dug up a lot of information, and we spoke to Mary of the Knightwood Theater.
Mary, Knightwood Theater has been labeled as feminist, women's theater, political, innovative, experimental, and more since its founding in 79 with the production of Sharon Reese's true story of Ida Johnson. How would you describe Knightwood's role in the community?
Well, actually, it's always been calling it feminist theatre, political theatre, and women's theatre. It's also been called Knightwood. How would I describe it? It is. It's experimental, it's innovative, and it adapts from other media. And also now, what we're hoping is that it will actually become the voice of women's theatre in, well, if not in Canada, hopefully in Toronto, because really Knightwood is the only theatre that gives women a forum, theatrically, and hopefully that can be done in an experimental and an innovative way. So that is the role that we see now.
Was it originally this role in 79? I understand then it was mainly in the experimental, innovative area.
Well, yeah, and I think, yes, it was. And I don't think that mandate has been dropped. I think it just has been extended. And when you think about it, then, when Knightwood Theatre was formed by Maureen White, Kim Renders, Cynthia Grant and Mary Vingo, it just coincidentally was formed by four women. And I think gradually since that time, since 79, it has come to the shape it's in now, and recently the board of directors, it's a working board of directors, has been extended, so I think it probably is going in a slightly different, not even a different direction, but it has taken the past and it's now going into the future. Mm-hmm. And I think it is because of the nature of theatre. Theatre is live, it's growing, it's like an organism. It's developing all the time. And I think we have realised that there really isn't another theatre. It's very, very unique in Canadian terms, because it is the only theatre that is operated by women. And I think naturally we tend towards the kind of plays or the kind of theatre that expresses our point of view, and naturally that happens to be the point of view of women. So yes, mm-hmm. I guess it is feminist.
It's political.
Feminist, and it is political. It has been political in other ways too, not necessarily just in terms of women's role. During the theatre festival in Toronto, we did Memorias del Mañana, Flashbacks of Tomorrow. That was a production with the South American community, and it was done in Spanish and in English with a like 50-50 cast, Spanish, South American, Spanish and English. And it was an amazing experiment. There was music, compañeros did the music, and there were, you know, magnificent masks, some wonderful imagery in it. And it was like a montage of images from South America, from South American history. It was it was very, very effective.
Yeah, and then you've also done Mass Age,
which was
Martin McLuhan and Media Oriented.
Which was like the history of man's ideas. I mean, it was very, very ambitious, and.
A year donation would help.